Interface. Not the same questions, not the same answers.
Hello, I'm Brad Johnson, and welcome to Interface, an examination of Christian perspectives on thought, faith, and culture with Adam Ayers, the pastor of Disciples Church in Costa Mesa, California, and the founder of the Stoa Foundation. Also in the studio with us today are Chris Holowaty, our engineer, and Tom Dunn. Tom Dunn is going to very possibly be leaving town for a while, so we may not hear his voice. Tom, maybe you can tell us, if you'd like to, why are you leaving town? And if not, maybe what questions that brought up that you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, I am very possibly going to be going on tour with a music group that I play with. I play drums for a gal named Maria McKee, who's a solo artist. And it brings up the question of, is it right for a Christian to unplug themselves from the body of Christ, their local church, whatever? But when I say body of Christ, I think of their local congregation that they're really involved with, that knows their life, whose life they're a part of. Does a Christian have a right to unplug themselves from that body for a length of time? Granted, God will call people to do all kinds of different things, you know, be missionaries, leave the country, whatever. And I guess where God leads, what's that old saying?
Where God guides, God provides.
God can and will meet anyone anywhere if he's called them to do something. But if God doesn't specifically speak to a person and say, yes, I've called you to do this, should a person unplug themselves from the body? Not only for their sake, but for the body's sake as well. This question came into my mind, and the question that followed it was, how interdependent are we as Christians? Lately, within the last couple months, I've been really impacted by a strong feeling that this interdependence, this need we have of each other, goes much deeper than any of us realize. I know in our American Protestant churches we're taught a lot of the time, we really only need God. It's great that we have each other, and he's given us each other, but we really only need God. I don't see that in Scripture, number one. Number two, in my own personal experience, I found that God has ministered to me through the body 90% of the time, and then that other 10%, you know, when I go on my walks at night, God will talk to me. That was the question that was in my mind. Should we go on vacations? Should we unplug ourselves from the body for any length of time unless God has called us to do so? How dependent are we?
I guess to follow up on your question and to add to the discussion, when the scriptures talk about us being members of a body, in Paul's illustration, he doesn't say, does the hand say to the feet, I'm not connected to you? He says, does the hand say to the feet or to the eye, I have no need of you? And the implication being, of course, the hand needs the eye. You know, we all actually do need each other. We are interconnected. And more than interconnected, we are vitally interconnected. Left to ourselves, perhaps we would die.
And we do, at times. That has happened to me. That I have, in a way, died when I've been separated from the body. When I lived in New York for a couple years, at different times in my life, times I've been living up here in L.A., and haven't been in regular fellowship, more than just on Sundays, I have died in some ways.
And I guess part of the thing is, I remember a show we did a while back, we had Doug Hutchinson in here, and we were talking about prayer. And I was engineering that session, I was sitting in the control room where I probably should be. He was talking about how odd it is that most of us as Christians do not order our lives around prayer, in that why is it so unreasonable for us to pursue work or pursue a life that frees up enough time to develop a relationship with God? And why is that not more of a priority, basically, as opposed to having the normal pursuit of, I will work as many hours as I need to work, I will do everything I need to do to make sure I sustain myself, and then whatever time I have left over will be spent with God or with the church or in prayer. In the same way, is it unreasonable or is it so off the mark to order one's life around the community of saints, around the body of believers that you are involved in? And we've had a number of discussions in here about the nature of church life and the American perspective of, we tend to see church as a part of our lives that we can give or take. And if I don't like one particular church or one particular pastor, I can always hop down the street to the other church and try that place out. And we tend to treat church as consumers. And today, I don't think we want to talk so much about consumerism and how we view the church. We can all agree that that perspective, I think, is off base. But to what degree now do we see ourselves as being involved in the church? And what do we see our role in the church as being? And we've talked in the past about coming to worship and how it's so tempting for people to want to come to church and be judgmental of the worship time based on how it emotionally affects them. Did I feel moved? Did I not feel moved? On the other hand, though, are we willing to really alter our lives and our preferences and to see the church that we attend as being much more than just a place we go on Sundays, but seeing it as an absolutely vital and integral part of our life, so much so that we will alter everything else in our life to enable us to be more involved with the people in that particular body? Should that be our priority?
I think many at this point would begin to feel nervous hearing your comments, Chris, saying, well, you know, that's a bit pathological. That reminds me of the shepherding movement. That is oppressive, that is imbalanced. Any of these kinds of objections begin. I don't think they're quite there at your statement, but they begin to come up, all of the, if you want to say, anti-voices when you raise the issue. One of the things that is critical as we begin to address this is the consideration of where does one ground one's primary identity as far as a social group. This is in many ways an arbitrary choice that human beings have. Socialized, definitely, that we ground our identity in nuclear family. We are given our names in our nuclear families. We are given our surnames. We receive our surnames through those. And as we develop into individuals, either we maintain those kinds of loyalties or those loyalties drop away. I think this is a natural process that Scripture very clearly alludes to in the process of marriage. I think one of the difficulties that faces an American in our Western society is that there is a tremendous multiplicity of social groups to which one may involve and where one may ground oneself. Additionally, there is a real challenge in that the nuclear family only recently has been dislocated from the extended family. Throughout the time we find Israel developing as a social entity, there are tribes, there are clans, there are family groups, and these family groups have these widely diffused and complicated social and personal interactions, so much so that, you know, in ancient Israel, they travel halfway across the Middle East, all the way across the Fertile Crescent, just to marry a cousin or a sister, and that these are incredibly binding, that the ties on family are the ties, and that people die over whether they marry in or out of the family. That's a different situation than we have today, where the goal in the American style is typically, unless one is very wealthy or what would be considered highest class, unless you're a Kennedy, so to speak, an individual is developed and dislocated from the family. Go get your own house, your own land, your own kids. Do all of the parenting yourself. Do all of the negotiation through life yourself with a very diffused, distanced input from the relatives. Now, that's not to say all American subcultural groups. There are many that are very enmeshed. The Hispanic community tends to be very powerfully enmeshed in mutual support. By carrying a different cultural heritage than the Western American expansionism, they tend to lock more into tribal groups so as a social entity. And that affects us as church members, because we tend to think individual family, individual unit, grounding identity in that each family is a majority of one with no social obligations. Social obligations exist as arbitrary constructs. So I become a member of a country club, I become a member of the Republican Party, I withdraw my membership however I wish it, and that membership is my privilege and not my obligation. These are hurdles to overcome in the addressing of the church, too.
Yeah, I mean, American individualism, That whole idea, what you brought up, Adam, a second ago about you raise up your kids when they're 18, you push them out of the house and say, go make your own way. You know, make your fortune, find yourself, it's almost like to not do that is considered doing them a disservice. Like if you keep your kid home and he's 20, 21, somehow that is perverse. that he needs to get out, that there's something wrong with him or her staying there in their early 20s or staying there into their 30s, that they need to be out and that there's something wrong with them if they're not out at 16, 17, 18.
Ironically, unless you are the very highest achievement of American society. If you're a Kennedy and you're living at home at 40, nobody cares. But you see, if you're anyone less than the highest wealth, the highest social standing, it's unacceptable. You know, he's 32 and he's living at home. There's something wrong with him. But we would never say that of, again, I'm utilizing the Kennedys because of the widely recognized.
Or a Rockefeller. Right?
Or a Rockefeller, yeah. You would never say of one of the junior Rockefellers, he's 32 and still living in the mansion. What's wrong with him? You know? Mm-hmm. It's like, there's nothing wrong with him. You see? So there's a disparity there. So we're striving to create these kingdoms while simultaneously disrupt and dislocate them. And I think that comes into the church as well. We are not grounded in a people group, and we attend church and dislocate from church randomly.
Mm.
And that there's a strange kind of betrayal confidence. I'm part of this movement, but if I move out of this movement, I'm a turncoat, but that means I've come of age, you know, and these kinds of very, very strange permutations of this, of the same social motif.
But Tom, your situation is one where I think you would still consider yourself a part of the same church fellowship that you are currently a part of, but you're just taking a trip away for work or whatever, but you're leaving with believers. And I don't know, I like to think that because God knows everything, because he's everywhere, that he can certainly meet you where you go on your trip.
Absolutely, which brings up the whole point of the body being, you know, worldwide, Catholic, you know, universal, the church of God, people that God dwells in. And yeah, you know, if I'm in the middle of the U.S. and it's a Sunday, I can attend a church and worship and God's there. That I realize. But I believe that God calls people to specific tribes, specific bodies, specific places to worship at. And I don't believe it's that interchangeable. Perhaps in an emergency situation, like, you know, you're on the road and so you stop by a McDonald's, but you don't want to dine there every night. You don't want to make that a practice. I feel like there's something inescapable about the body, the congregation that I regularly am a part of. Again, it goes back to the whole interdependence thing.
There's an interesting look, though, at the church, you know, how it was formed, that it, you know, it grew through being scattered, too. And other fellowships would form, and then they'd scatter. And sometimes we don't want to move, and sometimes it takes God allowing circumstances in to move us. But, you know, I feel that the church that I'm a part of, I don't want to go anywhere. I like where I am, and it's going to take something pretty dramatic to move me on if that's the case. But I'd rather not.
I think also as Americans, we have to acknowledge that there's a great pressure on us to not get stuck. It's becoming, or maybe already has become, very passé, the idea of working at a career for 30 years or staying in a community for 30 or 40 years, maybe staying in the same town where you were born.
Gee, aren't you getting stale at that church?
Exactly. I think that there's that pressure that we have to acknowledge. I feel it. That idea that if I'm not moving and changing, something's wrong. I'm growing stale. I'm growing stagnant. Not being fed. Whatever. You know?
I think you're right, Tom. And this finds expression in every aspect of our culture. It is not acceptable to listen to the same old songs. It is not acceptable to sing the same old songs. But there must be a constant inrush of new songs, new liturgies, new experiences. There must be always a new influx of sensational materials in the form of media. It is never acceptable to stay in the same house, but if one does stay in that house, one must constantly remodel. I forget which British lord it was that said, fashion is the only thing so abominable, it must be changed every year. But it's the idea of the constant remaking of the self as though it were progress, like running on the Stairmaster, that change equals progress, and progress equals good. And I believe that this happens in the constant change of marital partners. I'm stale in my marriage, I either enliven it and change it and renovate it, or I dump it and get a different one. And the idea I'm moving in my marriage, the constant remaking of the self. I think this moves to a real deep part of who we are, the idea of I am not comfortable with myself. I need to constantly remake myself. Grace will not meet me. And so I need to be learning more Bible or singing new songs or having new Christian experiences. It's not enough to have the Eucharist every week. A minister actually said to me recently that he did not want to waste his time simply doing the liturgy with one congregation for his whole life. And my first thought was, how can you waste your life doing the Eucharist? How can you waste your life just performing communion every week? Just ministering the sacrament of the presence of Christ to people? That's not a waste, but in our minds, unless we are expanding, that is a waste. And I think this fuels the uncomfortability to stay in one place and to build one's life around that relationship. And really, again, where do I ground my identity? Do I ground my identity within a community of faith, within a group of people, within my job? If I ground my identity with my job, I will follow it at the expense of other identities. If I ground my identity in my family, I will follow that and protect that to the expense of all others. If I ground my identity in myself, then I will be constantly remaking myself and really repudiate and damage my relationships, both my family, nuclear and extended. If I look at my identity in my nuclear family, then my extended family will be secondary and be subject to decisions. And the same thing, do we ground our identities in our relationship with the body of Christ? Or do we simply say, I ground my identity as an American, as a Marine, or even as, well, I ground my identity in Jesus. And if I say, if we're I make that Christ. Decision, we're of Christ, we're of Paul, we're of, you know. And if I do say it's only in Jesus, then I will never truly connect with a body of believers because I've said my identity is only in Christ. It is not in the church. Even though Christ says, in order to love me, you must be with my church, whether tending my lambs or loving each other or being part of this body.
God calls some people to leave, whether it's to be missionaries, to go to school, other places, to go start churches. Do you feel that he meets them in a special way because they are disconnected from the body, or do they suffer loss, and that loss is for Christ? And I'd like to tie that into something else. If we go on vacations or do these things, these outings that we want to do, are we depriving the body of something vital by us not being there?
I guess I can only speak from experience on a couple of those. The idea of vacations or taking outings, I would look at that kind of as...
Granted, it's an extreme position, but...
Well, yeah, but I mean, living a life of balance. Learning when you need to have times of retreat. Times to be alone with God. Or, for me, times to be alone with my wife. There are times when I'm ministering best to the body of Christ when I am ministering to my wife and making sure that I'm loving her properly. I guess all of that is keeping a perspective of this is all part of being a member and being connected to the body of Christ. And part of that is pulling away a little bit, coming back in, making sure that you are also finding life in God and coming back in and serving. But the other part of what you brought up, as far as moving away, that's been my struggle for the last couple of years. There have been two times in my life where I've really felt like I've experienced a level of fellowship with a body of believers that to me were unique and remarkably special. And they were the high times, you know. These were really good times. I don't know if that is the norm, but it's like I can point to these two times in my life, this 1 year when I lived overseas and worked with a small community of youth workers, and then the time when I had had my accident and was laid up for a while. And what I experienced was a deepening of relationship with a group of believers where there was no doubt that I needed them. It was being in a place where I was dependent on them, not just for my emotional needs, but for my physical needs, where I was relying on a group of people to be there. And so for the last 2 years that I've moved out of that community, it has been a struggle because the basis of my move was for a job, and I've wrestled with it all along. As far as, am I finding my identity in my work, or am I finding my identity in my church? Now, having made the decision to move back into my community and to leave this job, you know, I'm finding it very interesting having to describe to my coworkers why I'm moving and getting a lot of scratched heads and not understanding why I would want to leave my job because of my church. But that's the only reason I can give, is that while I really belong to this community and this is my family as much as I understand family to be, and this is where I believe God wants me. But I guess I would say in my experience, I have found that for me to pull away, and as this is, we're talking about a 45-minute drive, but for me to pull away far enough where I can't be really intimately involved with the body has done damage to me. I'm not saying that God isn't here where I am. He definitely is. I'm just saying it's a lot harder.
Paul makes the analogy of Christ and the church as being a marriage situation. And I think that if we utilize that paradigm, the family, body, marriage paradigm, and we apply that to the situation, it is revealing. For example, just the idea of having time away. Can a marriage exist? Is it a 100% relationship while the two members of the marriage, the spouses, are separated from each other? Say a Navy officer and his wife. Can the officer go away on tour of duty? Yes. Are they still 100% married? Yes. Does it destroy the marriage? No. Is it a liability for the marriage? Yes. For the kids, having that member of the family away. Does it diminish a family when Junior goes away to college, which is not necessarily a calling like a military calling, but is a decision? Yes. Does it destroy the relationships? No. Does it strain them? Yes. Do they diminish? Yes. Does Scripture make allowance, for example, for spouses to come apart from each other from that which they're bonded and obligated to provide to each other? Paul makes the argument about the sexual union. Does he say, you are not your own, you belong to your spouse, you're supposed to yield these things? Yes. Can they come away and not yield those things? Yes. Does that diminish? Yes. And Paul says it's a liability, not a problem. But the liability is such, don't do it for long. Do it only to seek the Lord and come back together again, because otherwise you create a liability situation. Along with that goes the idea, why am I coming to my spouse? Am I coming to my spouse only to receive? Do I rely on my spouse only to sustain me? I need to be with my spouse because I need to be sustained, and the marriage will fail unless I'm there having my spouse sustain me. You're going to kill your marriage anyway. Do I come to my spouse in order to give and receive? Yes. You see, so all of these analogies apply back to the same thing. So can you go away from your congregation of believers? Yes. Should you do that unilaterally? No.
Can you explain what you mean by unilaterally?
Typically speaking, there is an open door policy in most American churches. You can come in and join anytime you want, but then you can treat that open trust that you will be regarded and loved and affirmed and brought into this community and made a part of this community. And then if you don't like anything about that community, you leave, which is a unilateral decision saying, I can come in and be treated as valuable, but I reserve the right to treat the other members of this community as valueless. And I can take their investment into me and walk for any reason. That doesn't work in a marriage. In a marriage, the two agree. And if one person takes the habit of saying, well, I need space, I need to like take care of myself, and I just leave whenever I want and then I come back whenever I want, while the other person waits and always receives, you've built a pathological and damaging situation. Just so, it is not appropriate for the church always to wait for the individual members to feel like being there. And then they leave and go on vacations whenever they want and come back and are fully affirmed however they want and re-enter their relationships without any kind of hindrance. That will not work. It's a dysfunctional and pathological situation. For example, if you're planning on going away for a few months, why not say, fellow members of this congregation, there are some needs I want in my life. I want to make this a mutual decision. I don't want to diminish the loyalty of our relationships or treat all of these love relationships as cheaply. So could you just send me out with some prayer? Is it okay with you guys if I leave? It's not any sort of oppressive thing. I would say to a spouse, tell your spouse if you want to go out for ice cream for half an hour. If you're going to leave that, hey, I want to go get some ice cream. Is that cool with you? Not that it's a, honey, may I please? No, is it all right? You're coordinating your lives together. Ordinary consideration to inform and ask before making decisions. But we tend to locate all of the rights in ourselves and all of the liability on others in our church relationships. And that is harmful because the relationship of the community is mutual commitment, mutual love, mutual service, mutual humility. And I have yet to find that Christ leaves me without talking.
What do you mean by that?
That Christ does not treat me cheaply. and he does not hold our dedication to him as a light thing, and that we need not to hold the dedication to each other and his body as a light thing that we can abrogate anytime we want.
Is the only reason then to separate yourself from the body matters of the spirit, like separating from your wife for a time for prayer and fasting, retreat, missionary work that God has called you to? Are those the only reasons to separate yourself from the body? But I guess it's a case-by-case will of God basis.
Can you work all the conditions under which you will be separated from your spouse out before you get married? No, you work them out case by case. You negotiate it. Same way, you have a situation where you're planning on leaving your congregation for a while. Talk to them. If not everyone, at least the significant members with whom you have a relationship and leaders there. We ask permission to get vacation days from our jobs, but we would say it is a heinous oppression to have to ask permission to leave our churches. We are willing to go through humiliation and permission for some, but not for others, which shows where we locate our real values. And it comes down to that. In a loving relationship, in a trusting relationship, in a loyal relationship, a relationship of care, you negotiate distance. You don't just choose distance.
And with that, we leave you for yet another edition of Interface, with plenty to think about in your relationships with the other members of the body of Christ and your own church fellowship. Thanks to Adam Ayers, Chris Holowaty, and Tom Dunn for being here to discuss this today. Thanks to Media City Sound for helping to make Interface possible. And thanks to you for listening.